What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 217, episode 217. All right, so I'm back with another awesome guest today. So excited for you guys to be able to hear this one. This is just a guy who has a great story, not only from like the Rangers, you know, being able to be super high level on the military side, but also what he's been able to do afterwards, which is equally fascinating, through business, through, you know, doing some of these crazy 100 plus mile runs, and really just being able to dive in with him around mental toughness and, you know, not quitting when things are super, super hard. And I think it is a lesson and really a refresher for all of us that we need to get out there and do hard things, that we can accomplish those. So really think you're going to enjoy this one. Also, I do want to let you know that if you're still on the fence about maybe trying some Crosso meat, you need to go there. Go to www.crossomeats.com, crossomeats.com. Get yourself some great meat. Stock up for the winter if you want to. Just grab a steak, grab some beef sticks, whatever it is. And then also, if you're on the fence about maybe trying some of the brand new tallow soaps or salves, get off the fence, grab yourself some soap, grab yourself some salve. It's like this really good moisturizer using beef tallow and completely organic ingredients. Get away from that nasty stuff. It's probably killing you. So just grab yourself some Crosso soap as well. All right, everybody, let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody? I have a great guest today, and I am so excited to talk to him. This is someone who spent 15 years in the U.S. Army, starting as an enlisted soldier and later commissioned as an infantry officer, Ranger platoon leader, and conventional infantry commander. He was awarded the Bronze Star, Combat Infantryman's Badge, and numerous other personal and unit awards. That's just where the story starts, though. Since then, he's gone on to complete a 142-mile Ironman triathlon in Colorado, complete the Silver Heels 103-mile ultra race at 11,000 feet, and competitively trains MMA cage fighting. Now he is the host of the Be the Leader podcast. He runs a Conquer Academy that teaches leadership and high-performance principles and has been featured in Forbes magazine and Entrepreneur magazine because of his highly effective teaching and experience. I am super excited to welcome in Jeremiah Sullivan. Again, Jeremiah, thanks for joining me, man. Pleasure to have you.
Derek, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. It's crazy hearing the bios, you know what I mean? Because I come from a small town of like 300 people. I know you said you're in a small town now, but I was like hunting and fishing growing up, and life is just completely transformed. So when you read it, I'm just like, damn, I guess I did do some of that stuff. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, it's a great bio. So I didn't know that about you, I guess, that you did grow up in a small town. What was life like growing up? Like, did you have the mom, the dad, the picket fence? Like, what was life like in the small town for you?
Yeah, I mean, so I grew up in a town called Trinity Center, California, town of 300 people in Northern California. And, you know, I used to hunt and fish with my dad. Didn't really dream a whole lot. Was really sheltered. And, you know, I can get into the kind of the full story and everything, but my life is just one of complete personal transformation and one of failing a shit ton. I mean, that's just the thing with my life, is I have just continuously failed over and over and over again, just faster, harder than everybody else. I mean, I was a failed athlete in high school, wanted to wrestle, and at the college level, failed at that, went to a community college, dropped out of the community college at desperation, joined the military, didn't know what I was going to do in the military. So just became an engineer, did civil engineer work, got overseas to Iraq, and was just like drifting, and decided, you know what, I'm going to go back to school, finish what I started, become an infantry officer, pursue a dream, get into special operations. And that was a 9-year journey of just dream chasing, like, you know, just having your head down, doing the work. And the internet wasn't really popular then, with all these different coaching programs and mentorship programs. So I was just alone, and ended up landing my dream job in the 75th Ranger Regiment. And that was crazy, because, you know, going from enlisted soldier, which is like, I always tell people it's like football. Like, it's like, I was like playing flag football, but not even flag football. I was like the water boy on the flag football team as an enlisted engineer. And then when I got into the Ranger Regiment, I got into the NFL, right? I was in special operations. And then that platoon was selected to go overseas and go do high value target raids against enemy combatants in the United States. So not only was I in the NFL, but I'm chosen to go play in the Super Bowl. Oh, and by the way, you're the freaking quarterback, Jeremiah. Like, oh, holy hell. So it was a dream come true. And December 31st, 2016, I was still living that dream when I walked into my last Ranger mission, and it was a mission gone south. Like, we ended up with a barricaded shooter in a two-story compound, got into a giant gunfight. I had like probably a dozen friendly casualties, and one of the team leaders under our task force lost an eye. And so it was just a mission gone south, and we had to evacuate that night. And anyways, that put me on this track of, you know, survivor's guilt, having leader's guilt. I felt like I failed everybody out there, and went to a really dark period of my life. And along the way fell to personal development to pull myself out of it. You know, I was drinking way too much. I put a gun to my head one night and almost ended it, actually. But so this whole journey that I've been on over the last, you know, few decades is just one of constant failure. And it was in that moment that I decided to just not quit once again. And I ended up finding a mentor. I just started working really hard on myself with personal development. And then along the way, I started coaching people. And when I started coaching people, I started helping them with leadership. I started helping them with mental toughness. And just kept compounding on that process over and over again until leading me to what I'm doing today, you know, which is helping. I help anybody from under six figures to over eight and nine, you know, so it's been a wild ride, man.
That's awesome. So I got to go back because you talk about kind of being like the water boy, you know, for the flag football team going into Rangers. What kind of compelled you to do that? Because I think a lot of people probably would have just been happy, you know, doing their time, kind of staying on the water boy level, yeah. You know, but it's pretty rare, obviously, you know, to end up as a Ranger. Like, what brought you to even the motivation to do that? Or what mind shifts were you having to go through in order to even take that huge step up?
Yeah. You know, when I found myself in Iraq, I turned 20 and 21 in Iraq, and I was there for 15 months. You know, I got there in August and I turned 20. And like I said, spent the 15 months there. And I got it was a messed up situation for me because, for a lot of people, but for myself, I felt like the war was happening and I was just kind of watching it while I was over there. And not only that, but when I was in high school, like, I wanted to be that athlete. And since I had failed at that, I pretty much quit on myself. And so I was really in this mentality of, I had just been drifting in life, just kind of going with the flow. And so I was in Iraq with no purpose, no direction, just reflecting on life in the middle of war, watching war happen, but not really being on the front lines and making a big impact. And so I had this calling inside of me to actually make a difference and be part of that. And I remember I was sitting in this town and I was putting in a patrol base for the 82nd Airborne. It was late at night. We always did our construction and our work at night just to stay concealed. And I was reflecting on the entire deployment. I had been reflecting on life, failing as an athlete, being the college dropout, and pretty much just giving up on myself earlier in life. And I'm sitting there. It's maybe midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning. And there's a gunfight going on about a mile or half a mile from my location. And there's Apaches flying in, there's machine gun fire. And I just remember, it was almost like romantic, you know, it was like almost beautiful sounding, the gunfire happening. And I'm laying there looking at the stars, just thinking about everything. And I'm like, what am I doing over here? You know, what am I doing in Iraq? What am I doing with my life? And I was like, I just had this calling. I was like, I shouldn't be over here. Like, I shouldn't be in this patrol base. I should be over there in that gunfight. And I had this calling to do something with my life. I wanted to be a hero. I wanted to be somebody important. And what I was doing wasn't important. It's just that I started placing value on people on the front lines, you know? And so really it was a byproduct of realizing that I had quit on myself and pursuing my dream of being an athlete and just pointing that dream at something else. I said, you know, I should be over there doing that. And so I kept reflecting and I realized that I was going to changed my path. And the reason why is because I had dropped out of college and I don't like to quit shit. Right. So I was like, I'm going to go back to school and finish what I started. I was like, you know, I like the military, but I don't like all the things about it. I was like, I like some of the leaders. I don't like some of them. I was like, you know, we have some good leaders over here, but there's some bad leaders over here. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go in. I'm going to pursue a path that allows me to be a good leader in the military and make a difference. And then I was like, not only that, but I'm going to pursue to chase a dream. I was like, I'm not going to quit on myself. I'm going to go all in. And that put me on the track. And so I dropped a packet to go green to gold, which is the Army's program to go from enlisted soldier to officer. And about a year and a half after that, I had to go back to college, went through the ROTC program, commissioned. It was super competitive. I mean, infantry and aviation are like the two most competitive branches in the military. And I was just a guy, I had scored like 850 on my SATs in high school. Like I was not an academic. And so I had, not only did I go back to school, but I went to back to school after I'd been to war, Iraq. So I had big time adjustment issues. I had to face academics, which I had a fear of because I had failed and I didn't do so well before. And the thing was, is like, it wasn't that I was not intelligent. It's just that I just feared failure so bad when I was younger that anytime a test got in front of me, I just could barely spell my name right. I just had massive anxiety. So anyways, the journey started with me realizing I'd quit on myself in high school being that athlete and choosing to make a difference and chase a dream. And when I went after that, man, it felt so good. And I'll never forget something my mentor taught me. He said, you know, something is meant for you if you find peace in pursuing it. And when I pursued that path of getting into the Rangers, I was at peace. I mean, it was hard work. I failed a ton. I had big time issues with stress, adapting to back to society, going back to school, all those type of things, and being in a competitive infantry branch and getting into soft. But I was still at peace knowing that I was pursuing something that was inside of my heart.
That's so cool. How did you like, you know, because I know a lot of people have heard about Ranger School and how hard it is, the challenges of it. But from a mental standpoint, how do you motivate yourself, I guess, maybe, or, you know, how do you have that mental toughness to get through something like a Ranger School? And then obviously I know you did some stuff after that, but even just going through some of that, you know, I know how hard it is and how few people actually can, you know, can make it through something like that. From a mental standpoint, like how did you actually get through that?
Yeah. So just to shed some light and provide some clarity for the audience who isn't familiar with the military, Ranger School is a 62-day leadership and small unit tactics school. You basically go and patrol with a rucksack on and you get evaluated for 62 days. Now, it's 62 days if you go through without recycling any of the phases while you're going through or get dropped while going through for failing a patrol or having some sort of integrity violation, doing something you're not supposed to. And then the Ranger Regiment is a special operations unit. So basically the Ranger Regiment, they're known for high value target raids, jumping into airfields, taking over airfields and then doing raids from those. Think like everybody's familiar with the Bin Laden raid. So think Bin Laden raids, that Rangers do that sort of mission. But Ranger School is an open course for the military, just the entire Army, and everybody could apply and go. And anyways, it's a very stressful thing for an infantry officer to go through because Ranger School really makes or breaks your career as an infantry officer. Now, meaning if you don't have a Ranger tab and you're an infantry officer later on in your career, everybody kind of looks at you like, why not? You know, they look at you like, what happened? Did you get dropped? Did you have an integrity violation? You kind of like get ostracized a little bit and you have to prove yourself with your reputation. So anyways, as a young guy coming up, you know, there's a lot of external pressure on getting through the course and internal pressure. You're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. But not only that, it's super tough mentally and physically as well, because on top of the judgment that you're kind of experiencing as a guy going through and the fear of failure, you've also got your family life that you're dealing with. Like some guys had wives that were pregnant when they're going through, you know, and some guys they go through when things aren't so good at home. You know, they're dealing with some marital issues. Somebody's sick in their family. And you don't know how long it's going to take you to get through. Like one guy, he was in Ranger School for like almost a year Now, can you imagine being in a school for a year, not allowed to leave? You barely can call home. Like, you can call home sometimes, but you can't really go home and visit. You don't know when you're leaving. You just know that you're in line to go to the next class once it picks up and you're going to get your shot again. So that happens to people. And that could be stressful as well. Then obviously on the physical side, Ranger School, they don't feed you a whole lot. You eat once, maybe twice a day. And then you have like some small periods in between phases where you're going to eat some more. But most of the time, there's no planned eating, no planned sleeping. You're just moving all the time, getting evaluated, and you don't know how, when the hell you're going to leave. Okay. So you said, what's the mentality to get through Ranger School and something physically hard like that? There's two things I think that come to mind as you ask that question. The first thing is, you know, it's the one day at a time mentality. I always just took the day as it was. I always just based my, like, focused on just putting one foot in front of the other until I got to that patrol base, ate my food, and then do it again. The other thing that I think was my superpower at Ranger School was I just committed to that school inside of my mind for life. You know, a lot of guys, when they went to Ranger School, they would say, oh, 62 days in a wake up, 61 days in a wake up, 60 days in a wake up. They would count down the days. And I hated that shit. You know, I did not want to count down. And when I went in, I just had this mentality, I'm here until I'm not here. Like, this is, this entire school is my world until it's not. And so I basically convinced myself that that was my reality forever. And what that allowed me to do is just loosen up on some of the anxiety, some of the pressure, and be very, very present going through the school every single day. And when I did that, I had less performance anxiety going through when I did my evaluations. And I welcomed the adversity a lot better, I think, than a lot of guys did.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I could see myself wanting to count down the days a little bit, just not even because you're out of the hard part of doing it, but sometimes I know for myself, I'm kind of like, I get too focused on the destination, and I know that about myself, and, you know, trying to find joy and happiness in the journey, stuff like that. Still working on that, man. Maybe one of these days I'll find more joy in the journey.
Yeah, bro. I mean, it's a one day mentality. I mean, I even teach this to my clients. I say, listen, if you got one foot in the future and one in the past, you're pissing on the present, You know? And so, like, everybody is always looking for happiness later on in life. They're looking for happiness during the vacation that they want to take or during retirement. I don't enroll in that type of mentality. My mentality is, what do I need to do today to make myself elevated and live my best today? And then once I lock in that formula, that success formula for myself, I just repeat it over and over and over again. And when you do that, you make the day a masterpiece, like John Wooden said. You know, that's the real goal, is like, how can I align my life with work that I love, make myself enjoy it, and separate my happiness from my results? You know, that's a big thing for people. A lot of people tie their happiness to their results. Now results should give you that little dopamine hit, and they should be very rewarding, but my happiness should not be determined by my results. Like, business owners, your happiness should not be dictated by your profit and loss statement. Your happiness should be dictated. You should validate yourself off of your daily process for success. You know, giving your best every single day. And when you do that, the result, the scoreboard doesn't really matter. You're just happy that you gave it your all, and you can lay down with peace at night. So that's the mentality that I had in Ranger School. And if you've ever read A Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, You read that?
No. Okay. So I have not read it. I've heard from everybody I need to read it, and I have not read it yet.
Outstanding book. He's a guy that survived the Holocaust, a psychologist, and he studied people while he was there. And one of the things that he analyzed and he found out was that people that set an expectation, people that expected to be released from the camps at a certain period of time, when that deadline came and they weren't released, those people would get sick and ill, and they would die a lot more than the people that didn't attach themselves to a date. People that were living and just existing and choosing. They said, you know what? I don't care when we get out. My purpose to survive is X, Y, and Z. It's my kids, my family, whatever. I don't care when it happens. I'm not living for that date. I'm living for my purpose. And there's just something to be said about that. You know, when anybody has ever pursued a goal, And they set an expectation. When they don't meet that expectation, like we're closing on the end of the year now, when we're recording this, when they don't hit their goal during the timeline they've set for themselves, they get discouraged and they walk away from the goal a lot of times. But the time is just a guide, right? And if you release a little bit from your expectations, you release from the timeline, you're just present in the moment, what ends up happening is you get into that flow state. And like Mike Tyson said, a happy fighter is a dangerous fighter. So every single day you're happy, you're more productive, you're getting more stuff done, you're enjoying your life, and you actually end up producing a better result.
So one of the things that I'm curious about then, and this is something to where I also have a little bit of mixed feelings about, is, you know, setting up, like, let's say in business, you know, a 5-year plan, right? And I just had someone on the podcast and we were kind of joking a little bit about the 5-year plan, because I think anybody who's in business or has been in business for a while, you can realize, yeah, make all your 5-year plans you want, man, life is going to kick you in the face at some point. So, I mean, when it comes to that, like, how do you balance then maybe having those goals, that vision, but maybe also not tying yourself to the outcome of the goals or of your 1-year plan? Because again, like, I know a lot of people will say, you know, again, as we're recording this at the end of the year here, we should be setting up our 2024 goals and then reverse engineering. And that's how we're going to build out our year. But yet sometimes I know for myself, if you get so goal focused for the end of the year, it almost like makes you miserable until you hit that goal. And so like, how do you balance like kind of strategically planning, maybe having those goals, but also living in the moment, living through the journey, enjoying that process?
Yeah, the keys to a successful life and the key to goal setting and accomplishment is a couple of things. But before I get into that, like what you said, everybody remember this. The first casualty of war is the plan.
Yeah.
It's always the plan. You're going to have this beautiful, like as an infantry officer, I plan my ass off for all types of missions, raids, jumping out of airplanes, whatever. But when you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. That is very true as well. You don't want to like walk into a cage fight in MMA or a gunfight in war and not really have a game plan. Okay. So there's really this like balance that the individual needs to create between creating their plan and just executing and taking the ground or taking the enemy for what they're doing on the ground. And being adaptable, you know, kind of like fighting like Mayweather used to fight. He was like the most, he was known for being one of the most adaptable fighters. Right. anyway, so the soft focus is I look at it a lot like swimming. You know, if you're swimming from one destination to another, like a triathlon or something like that, you've got a vision for where you're going, but you're really focused on your individual strokes every single day. But every once in a while, you got to look up and kind of make sure you know where you're going. You got that North Star, you got that azimuth or that marker or whatever, and you keep going there. And one of my mentors was trained in person by Zig Ziglar. So I don't know if you know Zig, legend. But Zig's
legend.
Yeah. So before Zoom calls and everything like that, he met Zig at the gym. He used to sell gym memberships and they worked out a deal where he was going to do personal training for Zig. Zig would mentor him. And for almost like 2 years, they met every single week and had coffee and Zig taught him everything. Well, that mentor passed down all of Zig's teachings to me when I worked with him. And one of the things that he taught me was to live your life with a vision, but your day by the clock. Okay. And so a lot of people validate themselves off of the result. Like I said, what does the bank account say, or how, it could be levels of fitness. It could be anything, right? But how I validate myself and how I teach my clients to validate themselves is off of their daily process. Like, what's your daily process so that when you execute the day, you lay down at night, regardless of what's going on in your life, like life is beating the shit out of you, you still feel good about you. You still feel like you did everything. So what does that look like? That looks like a morning routine that facilitates your goals and your habits. You know, we do body, mind, soul every single morning. And then a daily process that works you towards your goals. You know, Andy Frisella has got the power list, something like that. I teach the daily action plan. For myself, I teach my clients that your resistance has the highest ROI. So in a day, your productivity, the things that you're typically resisting that you don't want to do, produce the best results in your life, right? If I want to get in shape, what do I not want to do? I don't want to eat clean. What do I not want to do? I don't want to do the morning cardio. So business is like sales, right? A lot of people have apprehension with sales. I don't want to do the sales today. So anyways, it's about creating a daily process, a structure, a system that causes you to confront your resistance, work on your body, mind, soul every single day. And when you do that, like, what couldn't you accomplish if you had an unbreakable body, an unbreakable mind, an unbreakable soul, and a daily process that drove productivity towards your goals? Okay. So that's the key, is having those components. And then the last thing is that what a lot of people need to remember is that they might actually be slowing themselves down with their planning when trying to get to their goal. Okay. Time is not the main factor with getting to a goal. The main factor is decision, right? Like, time is a thing. So like, everything takes time. You can't have a baby in 1 month, right? Just by getting like 9 women pregnant or something, right? Like, time plays a role. But a lot of people, what they struggle with is the decision. When I make better decisions, the goal happens faster. So think about fitness. Every macro and micro decision that I make either works me towards that goal or away from it. Everything from, do I go to the gym? Do I eat the good meal? Do I cut a corner on this rep? Do I do my recovery workout? Like, everything is going to facilitate. And then the better decisions that you make, the faster you get to that end result. The more gym sessions I go to, the more meals that I eat correctly. And that's the way to collapse the timeline. And how do you collapse the timeline? You do that by confronting the resistance, by making the decisions that cause you to do the things you don't want to do to get to the goal.
So when you're setting up those, like the resistance, are you building that into your morning routine, your daily routine then? Like, how do you like tactically accomplish that? Because I know for me, I know that my day is going to be best when I wake up, and I'm an early riser no matter what. So I know people are like 5 a.m. club, whatever. I was there, I guess, before it was cool, because I don't sleep in the morning.
Yeah, but yeah.
I know for me, like, if I wake up, I read something productive, obviously get a workout in, have an infrared sauna in my office that I love to sit in. It's like, if I can hit those three things in the morning, my day is just always awesome, it feels like, because a lot of those things are hard. Like, there's mornings where you wake up and it's like, I don't want to read, I just want to sit here and watch SportsCenter or whatever. Right. And it's like, obviously even years into it, it's like, there's days where I don't want to work out, but I know that if I build my day out, my work day, whatever I have going on, to where I can accomplish those three things, everything else from there seems like it's downhill, because the worst or the hardest parts, maybe not the worst, but the hardest parts, I feel like can be done so early in the morning. That's how I've kind of hacked it, I guess, in a way, is by trying to get those things out of the way as quickly as I can before my day takes off. And, all of a sudden it's like this, I need stuff in my business, or I need stuff here, or someone's pulling me there, kid stuff, whatever. It's like, no, if I know by 8 a.m. I have those things done, then the rest of the day is going to be gravy. That's what I've done. Like, do you do similar things to that? Do you structure out your entire day? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, the key for creating a life that you love and accomplishing the goals in less time is to develop yourself and become the person that accomplishes them and does them in less time. So, it's more about the process for goal setting and achievement. When you know who you want to be, the strategy aligns. A lot of people are trying to figure out what they want. Whether it's the business or whatever it is, like how they want to live. But once you know who you want to be, the what starts to show up. So it's more important that people spend time on who. When I was training to become a ranger, I got obsessed about who I needed to become, because I was this guy from small town. I didn't read a full book until my 20s, right? College dropout, all this type of failure in my life. And I'm like, how the hell am I going to become a ranger officer? What in the, And so what I started doing, humans all learn by example. I just started watching and studying exceptional leaders, and I would watch everything from the way that they moved. I would find the rangers and I would kind of see what their habits were. And then I would, everything about them, I would even change kind of like how I was carrying myself, how I was greeting people. And I just started basically being them before I became them. So really the key to realizing those goals that you have is to build your daily process. So you have habits that support the person that you want to build, right? That's what got me on the reading journey. That's what got me on journaling. Like, I've journaled every single day for years. I haven't missed. And same thing with drinking a gallon of water. I haven't missed. So I'm big into just like getting clear about who we want to build, the leader that we want to build. And when you have a vision about who that person is and you're trying to figure out what action steps you take for the day, well, like I said, the strategy starts to align itself. But one other tool that you can use is I teach my clients this thing called the mental Gerber. So your mind is actually has a bunch of tools that can help you get to your goals, right? It has the higher faculties. The higher faculties are things like your perception, your imagination, your willpower, your ability to hold the goal in your mind, your memory. You can recall previous times that you've gone through something and pull from that. You can consciousness, your ability to observe your self-talk. You know, a lot of people are trying to achieve their goals or fitness goals or business goals, and they're talking shit to themselves the whole time. You're going to fail. You're never going to do it. How far do you think you're really going to go when you're just belittling and demeaning yourself all the time?
Right.
So consciousness is your self-talk and your ability to observe your own dialogue. So another one to your question is intuition. Okay. So your intuition, when it's not clouded by your thinking, your conscious mind, your intuition guides you. It's like, it's probably, in my opinion, it's probably one of the closest things that's, if I had to say there's a godlike voice that, or a godlike tool, it'd be your intuition. You know, your consciousness is known in a lot of religions as the voice of God, but your intuition, your consciousness kind of work hand in hand, right? So intuition, when you're like writing down, what should I do for the day? And you're trying to figure out if I should, like, you feel like you don't have a clear plan. Your intuition is going to deliver the answer to you. Like, you're like, okay, my goal is to get in shape. What should I do? You're going to think, well, I don't really want to do this. I really don't want to do the training. So intuition will deliver it to you. There's other tools on the mental Gerber as well, but like the Elon Musk is one of the best examples that I could give that's using the higher faculties above most leaders on the planet, right? He's using his imagination, his perception. He's like casting this vision with his mind. And he's taking everybody and convincing them that we can go to Mars by just using the power of his mind. But what is everybody else doing? Everybody else is pointing the most powerful weapon that they have available to them at themselves, talking about how they'll never get to where they want to go, how it's going to take longer than they want it to take, and how they're not qualified to achieve the goals that they've set. So what we need to do is, one, understand like what tools we have available to accomplish the goal, and then take all that too and point it and use those tools towards the achievement.
Well, one thing that I hope everybody really, really understands that you said, and it's something, you know, I heard several years back that just resonated with me so much. And it's like what you're talking about, such a good reminder of it is, you know, again, kind of like, rather than saying, you know, what do I want? What do I want to become someday? It's like, if you can figure out who do I have to become in order to accomplish these things, then everything else kind of falls in line. It seems like
everything,
you know, and it's crazy because it's like, who would I have to become in order to run a $1 million business? Well, I would have to have these attributes. I would have to, again, maybe it is sales. I'm going to have to get good at sales if I want to run a multi-million-dollar business. I may not have to even get good at selling my product. I might have to get good at selling my team on how to sell the product, selling my team on why they need to work hard, you know, selling my team on this vision that I have. It's like, who do I need to become in order to be the person who has, you know, the muscle definition that I want? Or who do I, and then once you understand who that person is, then it's like, okay, how would that person act? And I remember just that hitting like such a key for me, because like you'd mentioned, growing up, I was always focused on kind of, what do you want? You know, everyone's like, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? But it's more so like, well, who do you want to be when you grow up? You know, who do you want to actually become? Do you want to become a multi-million-dollar business owner? And if you do, this is what that looks like. And then you can find those people, you can surround yourself around them, you can learn from them. What are their attributes? What do they focus on? What do they think about? Who do they surround themselves with? And then I think everything falls together. But if the only thing I ever want in life is, what it is I'm going to become, who knows? You know, it gets so convoluted. And then I think that's where we get confused. And obviously when you're confused, you never move forward. You just stay there. You drift around in the wind. And unfortunately that happens to way too many people, it seems like.
Absolutely, bro. Bro, it's everything. Deciding who you want to be is everything. It's the thing that took me from enlisted soldier to ranger officer, to commander, to entrepreneur. I mean, I've coached and mentored inside of a $1 billion company. Like, coming from a town of 300 people, all of that started by me getting clear about who I wanted to be. And for everybody listening to this, remember this: the purpose of your goals is not to achieve. The purpose of your goals is to grow. Right? The reason your goals are goals is because you haven't grown into the person that achieves them.
Yes. I love that.
Yeah, bro.
I love everything. Yeah. So, and that does kind of bring me to it. So you're in the Rangers, you're going through obviously everything that you went through there. Now all of a sudden you're done. Right. And I've actually had a few people on over the years who have been in, you know, special forces, stuff like that, who have made the transition from that into business. What was that transition like? Did you get out and were you lost? Did you already have kind of this whole plan on what you were going to do? Because I know a lot of times, you know, when you're in such a high level special forces, stuff like that, SEALs, Rangers, whatever, that becomes your identity, right? Like, that's who you are to your core. You're a Ranger, you're a SEAL. And then all of a sudden you're not. And, you know, I've seen so many people over the years, that's where they turn to. A lot of, you know, could be drugs, alcohol, partying, chasing stuff, you know, whatever. What was that transition like for you, and how did you navigate through that?
Yeah, it was, it's very difficult for a lot of high performers, a lot of athletes too, go through the same thing. Like, yep. High level athletes, right? They attach themselves to those accolades, the achievements validate them. And that's why they're high achievers, is because they've been rewarded their whole life for knocking stuff out of the park, right? And then when they're going to lose all that, they feel like now they don't have a way to validate themselves. So basically when my dream came true, it was during that period, like it was about 9 years, like I said, every night I was praying to God that if he helped me get the dream job that I wanted, get into special operations, be the Ranger, I was like, I promise I will pay it forward tenfold. I promise I will just give back. And just, you know, and I wasn't even a devoted Christian or anything like that. I was just, there's no atheist in a foxhole. And so during hard times, I was always praying to something. And me and God were just, while I didn't have very strong religious belief, me and God were like getting closer and closer during this difficult time. So what ended up happening is I was praying to him over and over again. And then before I even accomplished the dream, I was still approaching my day and trying to pay the dream, the accomplishment in advance. I was basically giving in advance, like trying to pay it forward in advance, right? To prove to him, hey, I'm serious. Look, I'm gonna try to be a good person. And I'm gonna really just make an impact with everything that you're teaching me and whatnot. Well, what ended up happening is I walked into my last Ranger mission on December 31st, like I mentioned, barricade shooter, mission gone south. And what was a boy's dream turned into a man's nightmare. You know, I get in there, giant gunfight. I mean, we had to withdraw that night, and having to withdraw from a mission as a Ranger is like almost like a cardinal sin, right? You're taught not to retreat, but we had to. We were absolutely outmatched. I mean, my helicopter almost took a RPG on the way out. Multiple friendly casualties, like I mentioned. Anyways, what ended up happening was that put me into a really dark place mentally after I left the regiment. I had to go on and become an infantry commander after that. And I spent, there's about a 2-year period where I went from deployment to military school to another deployment where I was away from my wife, kind of by myself, dealing with my wounds from war, quote unquote, like my mental wounds from war, soul searching once again. Like, here I was, I accomplished the dream, but I feel like shit because I failed my guys in combat. And so I was going through a lot of soul searching. And that's when I found my mentor that I mentioned before. We'll call him Major Steele, because that's what I give the name to all my mentors, Major Steele. So when he found me and I found him, I interviewed him and found out that he did coaching and mentoring, and ended up hiring him. Meanwhile, in the back of my mind, I had this obligation to God to continue to pay what he had delivered to me forward. So I become a company commander. I go on another deployment, and I got myself from a really dark spot, you know, bad habits, drinking way too much, suicidal, to fixing my wheel of life. You know, I was failing. I was doing well in my career, but I was failing in every other area: relationships, romance, freaking spirituality, like fun and recreation. I was like almost like a superhero by day, and then just a clusterfuck at night, right? Like, I'm just shit show. And so what this mentor did is he got me right. he helped me with the other aspects of my life other than my career. And I wrote a book. I got top marks in my evaluations at work, and just everything just started really working for me. And anyways, I worked with him about 9 months, and then he recommended I start coaching people. He was like, bro, you need to teach people mental toughness. You need to teach people leadership because your track record is incredible in those areas. And so I started coaching while I was an active duty company commander. I would wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning after I got back from that deployment. And I would wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, work on the business. Then I would be a full-time company commander by 5 o'clock AM, 6 o'clock AM, full day of work until 7, 8 o'clock PM, come home, coach for a couple hours, go to sleep by 10, wake up again at 2, do it all over again. So I was doing this for, I don't know, maybe almost a year or something like that. And while that's all happening, I'm coaching, and then I'm also a commander during the day, and I sign up for that race in the Rockies, the 100-mile race. So it's Sunday, I'm sitting on my couch scrolling through the internet, and I'm in this state of life where I'm challenging myself and growing, right? Like, I've worked on myself with my mentor, I got my coaching business, and I'm loving it. I'm like, I really just want to achieve more in life and feel great. So I keep challenging myself and growing. And so I'm laying there, and I see this guy on social media, and he's like, he carries a bow, he does ultras, and he runs like a marathon a day.
Cameron Haynes.
And I see him. Cameron Haynes. Yeah, I saw Cameron Haynes on the internet, and I got inspired. I was like, man, one of these days I'm going to do one of these ultras like this guy does, this bow hunter does. That's cool. And I'm, of course, I'm like rested. It's Sunday afternoon. I'm on my couch. Yeah, bro, I'm going to go run 100 mile one day. Okay. But I have this thing. I'm like, whenever I want to do something, I put immediate action behind it. It's like a principle of mine, right? If I say I want something, immediate action, I get the ball rolling. So I immediately start looking up races, 100-mile races, and I find one. And I'm thinking like, it'll be in about 6 months or something like that. I'll train up, whatever. But it's in 6 days. Wow. And I was like, I said, screw it. I clicked the button. I bought the ticket, immediately called one of my friends, another infantry officer who had done those before. And I was like, bro, I signed up for a 100-mile race. He's like, yeah. He's like, nice, man. When is it? I'm like, it's in 6 days. He's like, what? And he's like, where is it at? I'm like, it's in the Colorado Rockies. He's like, what? He's like, 11. I'm like, yeah, it's at 11,000 feet. And he's like, what? I'm like, what's wrong? He's like, bro. And
hopefully
I'm like, listen,
bring
I'm
your oxygen mask.
Dude, I'm calling him and I'm like, I just need to know if I'm going to be able to finish this thing from your lens. And he's like, what's your mileage at per week? And I was like, bro, I haven't been running. I mean, I ran a lot this summer. I did an Ironman back, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, but I ran 26.2 miles on that race. I didn't run more than that. And he's like, honestly, I think you can do it, but it's not going to be pretty. So I'm like, bet, done. Hang up the phone. And I'm like, I'm going. So I know nothing about ultra racing. I'm still in this state of kind of searching. And I'm also in this crossroads with my career where I got to decide if I'm going to stay in or get out. I had put together a packet for Delta Force. That was an option. And that's a whole nother story. But basically, I signed up for this race and I get out there on a Friday at like 10 o'clock at night. Race starts at, I think it was 4 o'clock in the morning. So I got up at 2 on Saturday. My wife had business, so she couldn't take me. I took an Uber 90 minutes into the woods to go do this 100-mile race because I know nothing about ultra racing. I've got 2 pairs of shoes. I got a $50 pair of Under Armour shoes on, and I'm bringing an extra $50 pair of Under Armour shoes that I picked up a couple of weeks ago. And I look like just like a basic soldier, like who has no idea what the hell he's doing, and he's going off to like military training. You know, I'm just like So I get out there and I got my Camelback, my Ranger panty shorts. If you don't know what Ranger panties are, check them out. And anyways, I get out there and they start the race. I find some guys that had ran races before and I start running alongside them and start picking their brains about ultra racing because I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm like, guys, how do you sleep? Do you rest? Do you walk? Do you run? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like learning as I'm going. I'm running way too fast. The one guy had done like 30 something of them. The other guy had done like 10 of them. And they knew what they were doing. And they're looking at me like, bro, this is your first ultra. And I'm like, yeah, what's up? I'm ascending. So I'm going uphill. And what ends up happening is I'm running way too fast, obviously. I'm running with like high level competitive runners. And I blow up, get the worst headache of my life, altitude sickness. And I'm at mile 20, just completely broke off. Worst headache migraines I've ever felt in my life. Like I thought that I was going to be evacuated off the mountain. But I tell myself, I say, you know what, let me just check into this checkpoint and try to, in a last ditch effort, let me just get 5 or 10 minutes of rest and see if that helps me get up and get moving again. And I mean, I'm ready to throw up. I can't see straight. Everything's foggy. And I've been like this for hours. And, you know, I've done some tough stuff before all this with all the military training that I've done. I've never been in this much pain. And I'm like, I'm fucking done. So like a wounded animal would, right? I kind of like, I hit the checkpoint and I hide. I go off into the corner, into the woods, and I find some shade and lay down because I don't want anybody to see me completely broke off like that. And I just want to be left alone. And as I'm laying there, I'm like, I set my alarm for like 20 minutes. And I'm laying there. And after about 10 minutes or so, 5 to 10 minutes, this voice comes over me. And it was like just this voice of God almost, right? It was like, we don't quit. And where I thought I was completely broke off, this voice just like hit me. And it was like, we do not quit. You're not done. And then my mind and my body got in this battle. And it was like, my mind was telling my body that it needed to get up. It was like, you need to get up, or we're going to drag your corpse through the next 80 fucking miles. Like, two choices: get up or we're going to drag you. I just naturally, like, that energy and that voice compelled me to get up, and I started moving again. And for the next 20 miles, all the challenges in my life kind of came forward, and I was in this like the darkest place mentally I've ever been. You know, I couldn't really see much around me. It was almost like overcast in my mind. All I could see was my feet. And it was just one foot in front of the other. And I thought about failure at war. I thought about failure in school. I thought about failing as an athlete. I thought about all of my failures in life, but somehow I was finding strength through all of them. And it was almost like I was redeeming myself, one foot in front of the other, one foot in front of the other. And as I was doing that, I hit this mountain and I start climbing up this little mountain. It's one foot in front, just stopping, almost passing out. And I get to the top of this hill. And as I do that, it was the 40-mile marker. And I get there. And as soon as I got to the top, it was like all the pain, all the adversity, all the fog that was inside of my mind, it all went away. And I got hit with this energy. And I was like, holy cow, like I feel actually like I could finish this thing. And I knew in that moment I was going to finish the race. So it was a battle for the last 60 miles. I mean, I was damn near hypothermic at night. I almost missed several cutoff times for checkpoints. But I completed the race in the last 2 miles. Everybody was kind of strolling their way in and I was a little bit early. And I look around and I started conforming again. I started kind of like conforming to everybody else's pace. And I caught myself and I said, I didn't come here to like cruise it in at the end. You know, I came here to give my absolute best. I came here to challenge myself to grow. And the reason I had signed up for the race was to commit to something. I wanted to commit to something that symbolized my commitment to business and life success. And I was like, I'm going to go out, I'm going to do this race to show that I'm truly committed to everything else I've been working on in life, my business and everything. And in that last like few miles, while everybody else was kind of cruising it in, I just started sprinting, man. And I just started digging in. It was the most excruciating pain I've ever been in. I was in tears when I came through the finish line and passed out once I got into the car. But it was on that race that I had an epiphany that everything that I had been chasing in the military, I loved serving and I loved giving. That's where I found my most fulfillment. But everything that I was chasing was really about, at the start, it was about significance, wanting to feel important, wanting to feel validated, wanting to feel like I was enough, wanting to feel like I wasn't a failure. And what I found through the military was what really made me happy was service, helping others. I loved it when my squad leaders got promotions, when people got top evaluations underneath my leadership, when guys grew, and I always helped them out with life too. And so on the race, I realized that what I really wanted was I wanted to make more impact. And so the military was something I didn't want to give up, but I knew that if I got out, I could make a bigger impact than if I stayed in. And I realized that on that race, in that 100-mile race. So there was one other thing that helped me make the decision to get out. And it was basically, I was like, I asked myself 3 questions whenever I'm at a crossroads. I asked myself, what would my mentor do that's an expert in this field? I asked myself, what does my gut tell me to do, my intuition? And then what's the hardest path in front of me? Because the hardest path always pays the most. And so if any two of those 3 questions point me in one direction, I don't say no to it. I have to say yes and I go. So it was an epiphany during the 100-mile race, plus my decision-making principles that I live by that caused me to get out, and I was out within 4 months.
Wow. Wow. That's insane. That's insane. I would imagine probably everybody too, that you're running with has been doing them and probably been like seriously training for it. And you show up let's do this thing, man. Let's go.
So one of my friends set a world record. He ran 100 milers in 100 weeks.
Wow.
Every week for 100 weeks during COVID, by the way. One of them, like several of them were in his apartment inside of New York City. You could look him up. His name is Michael Ortiz, Game of Hundos. And he was on that race. And afterwards he told me, he was like, bro, you shouldn't have made it through that race. That wasn't like people don't do that their first time.
Yeah.
He's like, people will train up for years to do that. But the thing that really pulled me through was a commitment to my purpose, to the goals that I had set, the vision that I had for myself. And it's that 1 foot in front of the time mentality that I think we talked about during Ranger School, you know. But to your point, transitioning out of the military, it was very tough. But the thing that really helped me along the way was that I got mentorship in that period. And what my mentor taught me was that you're not the results that you get in life. Your identity is not your results that you get. You're not the uniform. You're not the accolades. Who you are as a human being is none of those things. Who you are as a human being is the effort that it took to achieve those things. So at your core, you're the man that achieves the goals. You're the person that achieves the goals, the leader that achieves the goals. So change, you can change the environment and you still are who you are. And so I had to do a lot of work about learning who I was and learning what my real identity was when you stripped everything away from me. And that's what helped me out the most.
Man, that's awesome. I love that story. That's so cool. So as you got into more of the coaching, the mentoring yourself, what has been kind of your, what's been your take on it? I mean, has it given you that fulfillment, that joy? Has it maybe changed? Because I know sometimes it's like, hey, the idea of coaching people is great. And then when you're actually in it, it can be a challenge maybe. Like what's transpired kind of since you've been in that coaching world?
I mean, it's the most fulfilling work that you'll ever do, but it's also the most toughest work that you'll ever do. And it's because you're not, like a lot of coaches think that they're just teachers. Like, oh, I'm just going to share my knowledge. No, a good coach changes your behavior. You know how hard it is to change an adult's behavior? Somebody that's ingrained with habits and destructive habits and self-sabotage behaviors and a negative mindset their entire life.
Yeah.
It's very difficult, but you know, I had a little bit of a competitive advantage because I had the leadership experience that I'd gained in the military. And before I was in the military, I had 3 brothers. So influence and learning how to understand people helped me out tremendously as a coach. But I never really wanted to be a coach. I never wanted to be a leader. You know, life just built me into one. You know, when I chose to pursue my dream and become an infantry officer, I feared getting in front of people. I feared leading missions. I feared every step of the way. I feared leading teams, but I knew I didn't want to let people down. So I just became the leader that they needed. I learned how to understand people. I learned how to, you know, just interact with them, understand where they're going in life and help them achieve their goals. And, you know, my mentor also taught me that you can get everything you want in life if you just help enough people get what they want. So when I became a
coach, this is exactly the quote.
Bro, I'm programmed, but he had me listen to these Zig audios, like literally this one CD deck. I think it was 16 times. The guy was a psychopath. He was like, listen to this deck 16 times. And I'm like, I'm a good student, so I'm going to do exactly what you tell me. I'm like 16. It was like 2 years before I finished that deck. And I like, it just comes out of me. I got a lot of Bob Proctor stuff too, that comes out, but I regret. So yeah. So, point being is that coaching has been incredible. I did not want to be a coach. It just called me. My mentor was like, recommended it to me. Right. And I just kind of laughed when he said it. I was like, coaching, that's like a thing. People are going to like, that's a business. He's like, yeah, I think you'd be really good at it. But I respected the guy. He had the credentials, the background. So I tried it out. I put it on social media and my first post, I got a client off of it. So I was like, shit, this is like, I'm destined for this. But the thing that it's helped me out with the most is, you know, it just, people lead people. Like I said before, at the beginning of the show is people grow. Not everybody wants to be changed, but everybody wants to change.
Yeah.
And when you show a higher level example for people to emulate and follow, people have a roadmap to becoming their best. And so the game that coaching has offered for me is it's allowed me a platform to improve myself so that others improve. So selfishly, that's what I love. But selflessly, it's amazing when I watch people make their annual income in a month. It's amazing when I watch a guy who's never ran more than 5 miles crush a marathon in one coaching call, or a sales team make $200,000 in one coaching call because I work with them for one time. Like, just the transformations are super fulfilling. And the only thing that I would say with anybody that's considering getting in the coaching space is you have to be willing to do it without the money. As soon as you get involved with the money, the whole business model is fucked. Like, you're not going to succeed. You're getting in the way of the customer. So you have to really detach from that. And if your relationship with money sucks, or if you have, you know, high levels of greed, you're not going to do well. I have zero levels of greed. I'm just like the most neutral person. It's almost like concerning, to be honest. But my point is, you can take everything away from me and I don't give a shit. I'm still going to coach because it's the thing that gives me purpose. I wake up every single day and I do my morning quote, which I've done for years and I don't miss. And people are like, how do you stay so consistent on that? It's because I'm thinking about delivering and helping others. You know, so point being is it's some of the most fulfilling work that you could ever imagine, and helping people realize their potential, get to their goals in less time. And not only that, from an individual level, leadership level, it's great because it causes you to want to raise yourself up higher too.
I love it. I love it. So before we get to the last question, where can everybody find you if they want to check out your content, maybe even look into working with you? Where is the best place to find you?
Yeah, absolutely. Best place is on Instagram. I answer guys. It's me on Instagram. I don't have a VA team or anything. I brought that in a few years ago, tried it out, got rid of them. It's just me in there every single time. So just come say what's up. Jeremiah Solven, JeremiahSolven. Let me know where you're coming from, so that way I know right out the gate. And whether you're coming to build a relationship or you want to explore a professional relationship, just let me know right out up front and I'll take it from there.
Awesome. Well, make sure guys go out there and follow Jeremiah. As you can tell, lots of awesome stuff, great wisdom. So we've kind of went through, we've talked about the liberation side, kind of the mindset that you had going through this, obviously the lifestyle with how you're coaching and really being able to live, it sounds like, the lifestyle that you want. So when we get to kind of the final pillar, obviously you're still young, going to be around for a long time, helping tons of people, I can tell. But, you know, maybe when you do get to the end of your life and you're looking back, what is it that you want your legacy to look like?
Bro, I go through this all the time. When I lay down at night, I hope that I wake up the next day, you know? And I just want to be known as a guy that gave it his all and helped show others the way. Here lies Jeremiah Solven, a guy that gave it his all and strived to show others the way. You know, that's my mission. Like, when I was young, I didn't really think very big. I didn't go after big dreams because I had a fixed mindset. You know, I didn't really know what I was capable of. And now I'm on this mission to help others achieve theirs. In order to do that, what I have to do personally is constantly raise myself up, hit new levels. And the way that everybody else has to achieve their dreams is they have to do the same thing. They have to build. This is how I coach people. The first step, we have to build the best you. That's the first thing. That's the table program that I offer. You know, we do mindset, fitness, nutrition inside of that program, and then live coaching. Build the best version of you. Work on your mindset, work on life, get you right. And then after that, we can do a goal setting and achievement strategy, help you with elite level mindset, help you collapse the timeline to the specific goals that you want, the specific goals that are inside of you that you want to go after. And then you got to become a leader. You know, if you walking away from leadership means you're walking away from success. There's no such thing as success without leadership. But anyways, that's my mission is I just want to help others achieve their dreams and give it all every single day. You know,
I love it. I love it. Make sure guys go out there, check out Jeremiah on social media, post a ton of content there. Obviously very much an open book. Hit him up at Jeremiah Solven, JeremiahSolven. Thanks again, Jeremiah. This was awesome, man. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, man.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.